Dante in the Divine Comedy, I think, understands something very deep about the meaning of Holy Week and Easter, which is surprising because, in fact, very little of Holy Week and Easter, in terms of the events of Jesus's life, are mentioned in the Divine Comedy. There's no Last Supper, there's no Gethsemane. The cross is referenced, but relatively infrequently and late. And certainly, there's no references to the words that Jesus utters on the cross and the drama of his death, the horror of his death, which fills Holy Week in churches. And then, when it comes to Easter Sunday, there are no references to the resurrection appearances in the Divine Comedy, and no struggles overtly with trying to understand what happened to Jesus. But instead, the pattern of Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday is written deeply into the events of the Divine Comedy. Dante really realizes, I think, a deep truth which can get lost today, that the significance of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection really only counts when it's known in the lives of those who follow the path that Jesus laid out, particularly in the events of Easter. And so, what Dante experiences is what Augustine had said, that the joy of being a Christian is that you are a Christ. It's the kind of thought that you hardly dare think, the kind of sentence you hardly dare utter. And in fact, I think part of the significance of the Divine Comedy is Dante's realization of the depth of the calling of being a Christian, that it wasn't just about remembering what had happened to Jesus, but was about knowing what had happened to Jesus in his own life. It wasn't just about a piety towards this man who was God, who lived and died for Dante 1300 years previously, for us 2000 years previously. But the reason why that history counts is because it is still, was still for Dante, the type of his own life through which he could understand his own life. And so I think that the Divine Comedy speaks very powerfully to a time like ours that has grown unsure about Jesus and so can get very preoccupied with what happened in historical terms and become very full and, of course, rich with the remembrance of what happened in liturgical and symbolic forms, but lose touch with where the events of Holy Week and Easter really not just come close, but become our own experience of life as well. And this is what Dante realizes in his crisis, that midway through the course of our life, when he finds himself in a dark woods that's fearful and bitter, and begins his own journey through Holy Week and Easter, he sets the Divine Comedy, beginning on Maundy Thursday of the year 1300. And it continues for about a week until he enters paradise. So, through the events of Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday, into Easter week. And whilst the things that happen to Jesus are never or rarely explicitly referenced, certainly not in terms of the timings that Dante's own journey is following, the pattern, the deep significance is there all the way through. So let me unpack that a little by talking about what happens to Dante in terms of the timing and where he's at the moments that correspond to where Jesus is at, and to see, therefore, how this sense of Christ's pattern is reflected in our own life, so that with Augustine we might dare to want to know what he meant when he said that the joy of being a Christian is to be a Christ. So the Divine Comedy begins on Maundy Thursday evening, and this, of course, is when Jesus shares the Last Supper and enters then the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. And for Dante, this growing sense of darkness and foreboding awareness of what is to come manifests when he can't just begin Maundy Thursday as if it were any other day with a few troubles, but a sense of the light. And so he's confronted in the dark woods by the beasts that prevent his way, and then by Virgil, who appears, perhaps in a faint echo of the angels that appear to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And both Virgil and the angels are there to help comfort Jesus, Dante, on the dark path that they must now take. There's no shortcut anymore. There's no spiritual bypassing. There's no, for Dante, turning to Christ as if Christ, in the form of the historical Jesus, had done it all. No, now he must know of these things himself. And so begins his journey through hell. First of all, Virgil and Dante actually walk and talk. And Dante complains. He says, look, this is not for me. I'm not the kind of person that can journey either into the depths of the earth or into the heights of heaven. And Virgil tells him that's just a fake humility, that what is required is courage. You've prayed to follow this path. Now is the moment where you will follow this path. And he is encouraged by the message of the Virgin Mary, of St. Lucy, and of Beatrice, who have sent Virgil to guide him. And yet still he resists and complains until they reach the gates of hell and begin the descent. Now, by this time, it is Good Friday in the afternoon and early evening. And so in terms of the events for Jesus in Holy Week, he has been crucified, he has died, and is now embarking on the harrowing of hell. The tradition that Jesus enters hell to break open its gates and release those souls who had already died and been held captive. And so Dante too enters hell at about the same time on Good Friday afternoon evening, and in a way begins his own echo of the harrowing of hell, which for Dante means facing the darkness, understanding how the darkness is within him as much as it is within others, and through the struggles of the inferno, bringing the light of his understanding, and so being able to face that darkness and so bring it back to light. We see how Dante struggles with this through the events of the inferno. Dante collapses at various points. For example, when he meets the figures of Francesca and Paolo and realizes that what had gripped them completely grips him. And in that moment, he feels all is lost. And yet he revives, he comes round, and in other moments is able to see more clearly what holds people in infernal states of mind. For example, he understands anger quite well, and so can look at those caught in anger and bring the light of his awareness to that. Of the many dramatic moments in the Inferno, One that comes to mind when matching what happens to Dante with what happens to Jesus through the events of Holy Week and Easter is when they come into Malabolgia, this region of the Inferno, where there are these deep ditches within which people are trapped. And they come across the demons of Malabolgia, led by Malacoda. And there's a very dramatic moment where Malacoda remembers the moment Jesus died right to the minute. It is a sign that Malacoda, the demon, is preoccupied with Jesus harrowing hell. It terrifies him, and so he's counting the minutes since it happened. But of course, that brings it into the present moment as well. It's not just Dante who is experiencing a kind of harrowing of hell, but Malacoda too is fully aware that Christ's presence is in hell as a threat to him still. He's counting the hours, days, minutes, and is a reminder that the events of Easter Holy Week are not just something that happened in the past, but are continual and present to all of those who can be aware of it. So they travel through the Inferno much of the time on Easter Saturday and finally reach the floor of hell, this frozen place on the very cusp of falling out of being altogether, where Lucifer, the angel of light, is trapped. And this is in the early evening of Easter Saturday. So 24 hours after they began the descent through the gates of hell. And then they discover this extraordinary thing that if they continue into the darkness, there's a moment where it turns around, described so vividly as them clambering onto the very body of Lucifer and realizing that they're no longer going down, but they're starting to rise and climb up. And this is Dante sharing, I think, in what Jesus brought about through the harrowing of hell, that it's by going into the darkness, not by expelling it, in fact, that the light returns. In Dante's case, I think, particularly the light of his understanding. And so Dante and Virgil begin the climb. And Easter Sunday morning comes to them, but it comes to them not with an instant and dramatic return to new life, as if suddenly the whole thing was over. Rather, it's a shift in the journey. It's a new kind of undertaking that begins the purgatory. It's very beautiful when Dante and Virgil emerge from the depths of hell on the dawn of Easter morning. So, in the biblical story, with the events of Holy Week and Easter, this is when Jesus makes his first resurrection appearances, particularly to Mary Magdalene in the garden, where he says to her, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father." Which, very interestingly, actually, the direct contemporary of Dante, Meister Eckhart, interprets as Jesus saying, "You must come with me on this ascent to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. You mustn't cling to me, but you must join me." And that's why Jesus says to Mary, "Do not touch me." It's the first invitation to Mary to know that she too is a Christ. That's the height of her calling. And for Dante, the dawn of Easter Sunday is met, quite surprisingly, by the figure of Cato the Stoic. He's the first to greet Dante on Easter Sunday morning, and they have a discussion about law and about love and about how to proceed. The sun is rising, there's hope, there's beauty, they see the stars and the lovely things again, as Dante writes. But Easter Sunday is the beginning of his journey towards and then into the light, having faced the darkness. That is the significance of Easter for Dante now, not only a Christian, but embracing the life of being a Christ. And so he begins the journey up Mount Purgatory and starts to learn how to live by the light. Now, this takes some time. He spends the first day on Mount Purgatory. Time has returned on Mount Purgatory, and so the first full day on Mount Purgatory is spent with souls who are very disorientated about where they find themselves. They're saved. They are struggling, though, to know what it means to live to this high calling, to become Christ-like, to know Christ consciousness themselves. And Dante has various conversations with them into the evening of Easter Sunday, when he has the night of his first dream on Mount Purgatory. And it's deeply disturbing to Dante, this dream. He dreams that he is involved in a rape, in an abduction, and the violence of his soul becomes clear to him, expressed erotically. And he wakes very upset by this. He's supposed to be on the path to light, and yet it just seems like more darkness is erupting. And Virgil tells him that actually this is part of being carried higher up the mountain. That now, you might say, there can be movement of darkness and light in his soul, whereas when they were in hell, there was no movement of the darkness. It felt fixed. It felt stuck for all eternity. And movement of light and darkness can be quite as difficult, painful, even intolerable as being stuck in darkness itself, because in one moment you feel the light, in the next moment you feel the darkness has swamped you again. So this is Dante's Easter Sunday experience. This is what it's like to become part of the life of Christ. I guess it's echoed in the events of Easter Sunday in the Bible. There's the resurrection appearances, which confuse and confound the disciples quite as much as illuminate them. They're not only having their hope restored, but are also being led into the difficult path of taking on the life that Jesus had imparted to them for themselves. And so you have these strange stories of Christ appearing and walking alongside the disciples, say on the road to Emmaus, and the disciples not knowing who it is. And yet the moment they've worked that out, the figure of Jesus disappears again. All this ambivalence from the disciples' point of view, I think Dante mirrors with his own ambivalences and struggles on Mount Purgatory. Again, this is what it's like to not only remember Christ, but to become part of Christ, to become part of the body. So Dante's journey continues through Easter Monday, Easter Tuesday. It's not till Easter Wednesday that he finally reaches the top of Mount Purgatory. And there, another extraordinary transition takes place in the earthly Eden, when he finally encounters the figure of Beatrice, who is Christ-like to him. It's very clear from her appearance on this extraordinary chariot, surrounded by the four creatures who represent the gospel, led by the two-natured beast, the griffin, that echoes the two natures of the one person of Christ. And Beatrice chastises Dante. You'd think that it would be a tremendous welcome, a reunion of love, and yet perhaps echoing again the encounter between Mary and Jesus in the garden on Easter morning, when Jesus says, "Don't touch me," Beatrice says to Dante, "You must see how you fixated on me, and that whilst awakening love within you, trapped you at the same time, because you wanted only me and not where love might lead you. This is quite common in seemingly advanced spiritual paths, where when everything seems to be unfolding quite nicely, Dante's reached the top of Mount Purgatory, there's another huge disruption to the steady progress. In Sufism, it's talked about as the second bewilderment. In Christian mysticism, after Dante, it came to be known as the dark night of the soul, when the comforts of Christian life, Easter, awareness, themselves must be shed in order to enter into a deeper identification and pattern of the path towards God. That's necessary at the end of the Purgatorio, Easter Wednesday in Dante's time, in order to begin the journey proper. The way into paradise is, in a way, the start of Dante's journey. Up to that point, it had been as much preparation. And so there's this great jolt at the end of Mount Purgatory as Dante becomes ready and capable of that. And they enter paradise, Beatrice leading him now. And again, eternity returns. There'd been the eternal darkness, timelessness of the Inferno. Days and nights have returned in Mount Purgatory, but in paradise, there's the eternal day. And they travel through the heavenly spheres. And echoes of Christ's life come to them directly. Christ appears in blazing visions to Dante once and then twice in the midpoints of the Paradiso, and he can't quite take the sight of Christ. And I think the reason for this is that he must know himself to contain the light of Christ in order to be able to welcome the light of Christ fully in the heavens around him, shining from the other souls, shining in the voice and song of the angels. The presence of Christ within him must develop to such a stage that it is resonant and at one with the life of Christ around him. That is what it means to be with Christ in this paradisal part of his journey. And eventually, of course, that does come to completion. They leave the heavenly spheres, travel through the Prima Mobile into the Imperium, the place outside of space and time altogether, where direct awareness of the divine becomes increasingly possible for Dante. He sees the heavenly hierarchies of the angels that mediate this life throughout the whole of creation, and catches his first direct glimpses of the divine light as this infinitesimally small dot of infinite brightness from which everything is pouring. And then in the final vision, unfolded through multiple stages, even at this last part of the journey, so brilliantly by Dante in the Divine Comedy, in the last final vision, he sees the human form divine within the Godhead, and recognizes that he is spinning like a perfect wheel with this love that moves all things, that moves the sun and the other stars. And so in the last moments of the Divine Comedy, as the words must give way to the fullness of the silence, he sees how he's now not just a Christian, but he is a Christ too, sharing in this oneness. It's taken all that journey of his week since he entered the gates of hell on Good Friday, and through the darkness, which mirrors the darkness of the story of Jesus, into hell, harrowing it by bringing the light of his understanding, emerging on Easter Sunday morning, seeing the stars and the lovely things once again, but also in the purgatorial part of the journey, facing this turning over of light and darkness, day and night in himself, as he becomes more and more capable of seeing the Christ within himself as well as within the souls and those he encounters. And then finally, entering the paradisal state where he becomes more and more conscious of the Christ within him. As St. Paul realized too, in his own recognition that he wasn't just remembering Christ, but was following the path of Christ, taking up his cross as well. Paul comes to the realization that he no longer lives, but Christ lives within him. That is what Dante unpacks for us through the paradise. The light within him must grow, and he must be able to tolerate that in order to be able to see the light around him and filling all things. And of course, Dante presents all the ups and downs, the ins and outs, the light and darkness of his journey, not just to help him understand what has happened, but in order that we too might take this path, might have it catalyzed, activated in us through his account, might understand more deeply what it is not just to remember the events of Holy Week and Easter, what happened to Jesus, the historical figure, 2,000 years ago, but dare to pray, to hope, to have the courage to let that become the deepest truth of our own life. It is a fearsome undertaking, but it is the way in which Christianity is not just a historic faith, but becomes a living faith that might speak to people even now.